It is certainly good to be with you.
I, for one, am especially
glad to be here and be on U.S. soil, see green. It is truly a blessing. You certainly count your blessings after being away for a while. And it's good to hear four-part harmony. You don't get that at the church at Kandahar. About 20 guys, you don't hear many sopranos and altos in there. Well, news can't get much worse when you hear the words "no hope" involved in an explanation. Whether you're sitting in a doctor's office or if you're facing the end of the semester and you hear your teacher say you have no hope of passing this course, I heard that in accounting before. It's pretty concrete, but we've of course heard stories of patients overcoming the odds of a doctor saying you have no chance of surviving past this certain point. But no hope seems pretty concrete. And then on the other hand, sometimes we over-dramatize or overuse like the words love or awesome. We use the word hope out of context. And we say no hope out of context as well. So before we start talking in circles here, let's clarify what the word hope means. Dictionary.com describes hope as to look forward to with desire and reasonable confidence. Hope isn't something that is just blind wishing. It's not throwing a dart in the dark, hoping that we hit the target. It's something that we believe. It's something that we have faith in that will happen or come to be. And whether right or wrong, there's many things in this life that we have hope for. Maybe some things that we have hope in. A lot of times it can be classified as false hope, whether it be in our jobs, in people, money, sports. But then there's other things that we can receive hope from, like a story that we hear. When we come together on here Sunday nights and get invitations, we hear a lot of great analogies and stories of hope to encourage us to keep moving on, whether it's a poem, a play, a movie, a song. In this instance, for me, one of the greatest inspirations I have is the song that we have in our supplements here, number 41, "In Christ Alone." The power behind every word of this song, with the music written with it as well, is simply amazing. And I've never had a song push me to tears before, but this one has. And unfortunately, we don't have time to cover all four verses of this song in depth this morning, but we should be able to thoroughly look at the first verse together this morning. And let's do that. It reads, "In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand." And I stated earlier that sometimes we overemphasize the word hope. But when it comes to salvation, an eternal home in heaven, Christ is our only hope. That is not an exaggeration of any kind. If you would, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. If you want to put your marker there, we'll be referencing back to this passage a few times this morning. Romans chapter 5, in the beginning of the chapter. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope, And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So when we break down this passage of 11 verses, I want to look at it in two different columns. The first column, before Christ. Look at all the descriptive words that we're called here in Romans chapter 5. Before Christ, we were helpless, ungodly, sinners, enemies, and we were destined to face God's wrath. Not a great lineup there of words to describe us. But thankfully, with the provision of Christ and His sacrifice, we are now at peace with God through Christ. We're now standing in God's grace. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been justified by faith and His blood. We've been saved from God's wrath. And we've been reconciled to God. Once again, it is only through Christ that we receive these things. Many have the doubting Thomas syndrome, though. If I can't see it, if I can't touch it, it's not real. And unfortunately, many are missing out because of this. And they have no hope. But we must stand firm in our faith because we do receive these things. Because we have that faith, we have that hope. But in the interest of further proving our point and keeping this lesson to the standard time frame, why do we have hope in Christ? Well, if we continue to look through this song, He is our light, our strength, and our song. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of the light of life. And also in John 3:16, if you would turn with me there. I know you know the first verse very well. But let's look at the whole passage. John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. He who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Unfortunately, in many people's Bibles, I'm afraid, this is the only verse they know, and this is the only verse that matters to them. He who believes. Well, it's good to have belief, but if you don't act upon that belief, what good is it? Many people read this verse and they stop right there. There is no other passage. There's not a book of Acts to them. There's not, the Bible doesn't end at Revelation. It ends at John 3:16. Because that's comfortable to them. And sometimes I'm afraid, at least in my aspect, it's comfortable for me too. I believe in God, so I must be okay. We need to remember that there's much more to that. And that's why we read to verse 21 here, because we see that it requires more than just belief. It's he who practices the truth. In verse 21, for those of us who believe in Christ and practices the truth, come to the light. And Christ, of course, is that light. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, we read, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And who did he tell that to? It was Thomas. Christ is the ultimate truth. We have received strength by being believers and followers of Christ as well. For Christ has taken all of the sins that we could never bear. He's our light, our strength, and song. For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And also in that same passage, we read the word helpless. If I were to ask you, give me five words that describe yourself, would helpless be one of them? Would ungodly be one of them? Those are two that we were described as before Christ. And really, we still are helpless. Without Christ, we are helpless. And we need to remember that. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting in verse 7. Paul says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. It's interesting the way Paul has that outlook about himself. Paul, one of the true strong men of the Bible, and in my view, and here he's saying that he is well content with his weaknesses. Which makes me think we need to be self-aware. We need to be self-aware of who we truly are. What's our makeup? We don't exactly know in this passage what Paul's thorn in the flesh was, but he truly was self-aware, and he realized that he was weak. Which also brings about humility. We need to be humble. I know for me, I'm very self-reliant, and I think in the society we live in, we're very independent people. We can do a lot of things on our own, and we can do a lot more with the technology we have and the speed that everybody's going. We tend to be self-reliant, and it's really easy to become full of self and forgetting that who we truly are and forgetting how humble we really need to be. And Paul describes the great humility and attitude we should have because of Christ in verse 10. Being content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. Because it's through Christ that when he is weak, he is strong. Which also brings a constant need for Christ. We may be able to tackle the day-to-day tasks that our life calls for with work, with school, with responsibilities. But when it comes to our sin, when it comes to our salvation, we need Christ and we need him all the time. Paul was aware that he could do nothing without Christ, and neither can we. And Christ is our song. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you are slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And then in Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, "And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, 'Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.'" We need to rejoice and sing God's praises for all these points that we've made so far this morning. Sometimes we just need to hit the pause button in life. Sometimes we just need to slow down and look at how good we've got it. Because I'm telling you, we've got it really good. I wasn't roughing it too much out there in Afghanistan. I had air conditioning that I could sit in. But on Saturdays, they would have this thing called a bazaar. And you would go and you could buy different trinkets and things like that at this bazaar. And they would actually bus in these third country nationals or the local nationals from Afghanistan, and they would sell these different things to you. And the way these people live, and the way you can tell by the way they're dressed, and I know some of it's customs and everything else, but they don't have anything. They have rickety cars that they come rolling in, and they're having to be watched constantly because they're coming in on a military base. And it just drives home the point that we've got it really good. And we need to hit the pause button and also hit our knees and thank God for how blessed we truly are, because He truly does bless us. And we should all be able to say amen to that. We need to sing it and share it everywhere. Not only do we need to hit the pause button and thank God personally, but we need to make it known to people around us. We need to make it known that it's our God that has provided us these things and not ourselves. We have hope through Christ because He is the cornerstone. He is the solid ground that we build our faith upon. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven has been given among men by which we must be saved.'" Christ became the chief cornerstone, and there's salvation in no one else. In verse 12, it may be fitting that we could even swap out the word salvation with hope, because in this case, they're one and the same. There is hope and no one else. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work." Just as Paul said, Christ is our foundation, and we must be wise on how we build upon it. He must remain the foundation. We can't swap it out for the gold or the silver. we need to keep Christ there at the foundation because He will stand the test of time. He will keep us through temptations and strife. And in Christ, we stand firm through the fiercest drought and storm. Also through Christ alone, we can experience the highest love and the greatest peace. John 15, verses 12 through 14. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So not only do we have this hope, but Christ is our friend. And then in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And then later on, verse 8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have peace with God through Christ. God demonstrated His love through Christ's death. And in Philippians 4, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. With the magnitude of love and peace we receive through our Savior, He stills all of our fears. We have nothing else worth striving for. We may have a lot of life goals, but once we have Christ and we have heaven, there's nothing else we need to strive for. It's through all of these attributes of Christ as our light, our strength, our song, our cornerstone, that we are able to experience the great love, peace, and comfort. He truly is our all in all. And it's only through the love of Christ that we're able to stand. But I can't close this lesson without at least reading these remaining three verses, and I feel they make a great invitation, better than one I could put together. So let's look at the last three verses together as we close. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. Then verse 3, there in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands for victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am His, and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hand, till He returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. We serve an awesome Savior. This is the Savior that died for you. And if you haven't decided to put Him on in baptism, you have that opportunity now. Brothers and sisters, if there's anything that you're struggling with, if there's anything we can do for you, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.